seventh chapter of the book of Hebrews, what happened to our lives. I want to begin reading in verse number 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figure of the truth. We know that much of the Old Testament, did I say chapter 7? I think it's actually chapter 9. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, never to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he said to him, offer himself often. Now, I want you to get the picture of this, that the high priest would go into the holy place once a year. He would take the blood of animals, and there he would make sacrifice to him. That's what it's referencing here. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. Those animals had to die. If he was, according to that Old Testament economy, he would suffer every year. But now once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and in the being that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Turn, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. And the latter part of verse number 5, the great promise of God, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In the 23rd Psalm, we will read from verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff and comfort me. I will often tell you the title of my message, most time I don't know myself. But I'm going to preach today, Christ's presence with us through death and judgment. He never leaves us. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, he doesn't leave us. Would you raise your hands and ask God to help me hear this morning? Oh God, if they won't pray for me, I'll pray for myself. I need help. I need you to help me, Lord. I need you to help me, Lord. In the holy name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Something totally removed from my message this morning, but I want to say that. I have been following a little bit signs in the heavens. I do it for one purpose. He says, there shall be signs in the heavens above and the earth beneath fire. They perceive. There are things going on in this earth that most of God's people do not take the time to try to find out. I want to encourage you. Read the Word of God. I want to encourage you to study the Word of God. I want you to encourage you to pray like tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in the prayer meeting. Some way in the economy of God, God has made it that we must search out the things that be of God. I would encourage you to do that. Having read this scripture, I believe that there is a great encouragement. It is appointed on the man once again. Brother Clayton in his text and about every funeral I ever heard him preach. For 40 years, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, he lives. I decided this past week that I would look at the death of Christ with the understanding that death is going to come in every one of us. It was Christ who, I believe, and the parallels of the death of Christ, that which I've read today concerning the time when God will receive us. It's an encouragement. There is a parallel, but my God, what a difference. What a difference. In verse 28 of Hebrews 9, it says that his death is an offering once to bear the sins of many. Right? But the main thing to see is the death of Christ bears sins. This is the very heart of Christianity. It's the heart of the gospel. It is the heart of God as a redemption. And it is the heart of Christ that one day, verse 28, that he came to bear the sins of many. When Jesus died, he died for all. No respecter of persons. He offered himself. He died the death of the cross for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Scripture tells us that he made hell. Yes, he did. That he made hell for the devil and his angels. When there was nothing but God, the seraphim, the cherubim, the angels, those in heaven, Satan said, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to be perfect. And the Bible says God kicked him out and he drank a third part of the stars with him. He drank a third part of the angels with him. God said, I'm going to make a place. I'm going to call it hell. It's going to burn with fire and brimstone. The worm will never die there. There will be no day, no night. And you will be tormented forever and ever because you sought to take the throne of the living God. Isaiah said, hell hath enlarged herself. For God, not willing that any man would perish, had to enlarge that place that he made for those that sinned against him in the beginning. Hell is a terrible place. Hell is an awful place. But the heart of the gospel is, you don't have to die in that place. The heartbeat of Christ, the will of God, is that you may not, you don't have to die that day. You can be born again. Look at what he did. He suffered for sins that others have done. He who knew no sin, when it says he became sin, it means he became a sin sacrifice. The devil looked for sin in Christ and was never able to find him. Because there was no sin in him. He was sinless, spotless. Though he was tempted in every point, like as you and I are, he was tempted, but he did not sin. The devil couldn't find anything in him. After all the tests, after all the discomfort. The last part of verse 26 of that chapter says, he has been made manifested at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's perfect. One of the great messages I've ever heard in my life, this is though he was rich, he became poor. That I, through his poverty, may be made rich. I would rank that up there with the greatest messages I ever heard in my life. It was all his, he made it all, created it all, but it became poor that I might become rich. If you want to understand something of the death of Christ, it says in the latter part of verse 28, he bore the sins of many. that right there is the answer to the greatest problem that man will ever face. It's the main problem. All the other problems come out of that problem. That a life lived without Jesus Christ will wind up in hell with each other. But you'll have hell every step of the way till you get there. You want no peace. You want no joy. You want no rest. I don't care what you have, your millions, your billions. All the while, Jesus is saying to those that are his, come unto me, and I will give you rest. I remember Brother Clinton to put you once that there was an art show, pictures were being judged. And the picture that won the contest had all these thousands of pictures. Was a framed picture. I believe it was an eagle that was in the midst of a storm. No leaves on the trees. The wind blowing, whipping, lashing. And the name of the picture was Peace. Peace. God said, my peace I give unto you. My peace I leave unto you. A man or a woman without God. They do not know that joy. They don't know that peace. They don't know that rest. What God is telling us about his death, that this is the answer to sinners. The answer is Christ paid for your sin. Christ paid for my sin. He received all the sins of all people. Upon himself at one time. Can you imagine those that would commit adultery, fornication, murder, theft, burglary, whatever it was? I personally believe that one of the greatest things on this earth is not to respect your father and your mother. That one thing that will cut your life short, you honor your father and your mother. And if you have a bastard child that would just like to respect a mother and dad, you don't owe them anything. You may not receive that, but that's it. Bastards in the Bible, it is an illegitimate son. God is God. And with the price that he has paid, God is angry with a sinner every day. We may overlook it. We may not pay it much attention. But with the sacrifice that was made, he did. What does all this mean? Do you have on me? The fact that I'm going to die, Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die. So what does it mean that he took the sins of men? He bore it on the cross. Does it mean that I'm not going to die a physical death? No, it don't make me know at all. I've had a lot of heroes, a lot of friends, a lot of families. I would have held on to if it was possible that they not die. I did not want them to die. Your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, whatever. You don't want them to die. The Bible tells you that the last enemy to be defeated will be death. It is appointed unto me to die. So what is the encouragement about the death of Christ? It is this, that I may die, but is it not it for punishment of sin? It is not punitive. I'm not dying because I sin, though I sin, and I sin much. I sin greatly. But when he died, when he went to the cross and paid the debt with his own blood, not the blood once a year of holy dogs and goats and whatever offering, whatever else, he went and shed his own blood. And in the shedding of his own blood, there is no more sacrifice for sin. That's what the book says. No more sacrifice for sin. What that means? It doesn't matter how many bulls and goats and turtle doves and oxen you kill, how many sheep you slay. You're just a killer. That's not for pardon. That's not for redemption. He paid it once, and he paid it for all. I don't know, but I'm encouraged. I'm not a brave and a bold man. I know that I'm going to die. I know that I'm going to physically die. I know that I'm going to lay this body down. Somebody, I told my wife, I don't care if you don't even open the casket. I don't care if you don't sing a song. Just let somebody talk about the Jesus that I'm going to be. That man out there that knows not God. The Bible says your sin has separated between you and God. He never came through Christ and the blood that was shed that he might be saved. Your sin has separated you from God. When a sinner dies, he dies in his sin. There is no purgatory. As the tree falls, that's the way it's going to lie. That sinner that dies without God, he will always be without God. There are no second chances. I'm going to tell you, if there were second chances, there wouldn't be one person in hell. There wouldn't be one person in hell. All of my sin has been born away. All of my sin. You remember that old song? I think it's probably older than me. There's so many. I'll take you. Your cases. The mountain. What is it? But that song goes on just like, my sins have been buried. There is a seal of forgetfulness. God said, I will remember your sins no more. As horrible as they have been, as great as they have been, Jesus took a lady taken in adultery with her accuser. You're guilty. Look what she's done. In the act. Not a rumor. Not a story. Not a lie. But in the act. Jesus said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Woman, where are our five accusers? Not one of them could throw a rock. Not one of them could throw a stone. They left. Neither do I continue calling sin no more. That's what he has done. Because of that. So I'm going to ask you a question. Why then do I have to? That's a little harder question to answer. This flesh, when you're born again, you're born as a new man, a new creation. Somehow in the will of God, God wants to get rid of everything that was ever touched by sin. What do I believe about hell? Myself. You know I've got some thoughts that are my thoughts. I believe in heaven. You will have every faculty that you have right now. I believe you will be able to feel. That's the reason I'm trying to preach. I believe you will get thirsty. The man being in hell said, Lord, just a touch. Just one touch of water to my pocket. It is in this flesh that we sinned against God. I'm talking about my thoughts. So I believe when you go to be with God, the Spirit goes to be with God. I believe that when you go to hell, you remain in the Spirit. I don't know if you've ever seen anyone. I have two people in my life that were burned today. One was a lion. So I guess back then it was God's face. He was on a pole. And the transformer blew up. And I was coming up with a hospital to see. When I got to St. Elizabeth, I was told, I think want you to put on this gown and this mask and face mask and head covering. But the main thing is when you go in there and you see that man for the first time, do not give any facial expression. When I open the door, I look clean, and the walls and the inside, the place, everything was covered with plastic. When I looked at that man laying in the bed, there was nothing but a blister. So the man, did you see it? He didn't live for a few hours. We paid for him. But the thing about him is that's the way it's going to be forever. We sinned against God in this place. We're going to pay for him in this place. Now, God's going to have to make it a place that won't fall off the bones and whatever else. God is angry with a sinner every day. And God will be angry with a sinner that goes to hell forever. I'll tell you something, sir. If you think sleeping with that woman is a joy and a pleasure, you just think about what you're going to pay for that. Woman, if you think that that's the desire of your heart to sleep with that man, you think about what I'm telling you, because that's your future. Unless you get right with God, that's where you're going. I believe that there is an external effect of sin that's going to remain forever. You think you want it? Steal that? Object? Think about it. No thief, no robber is going to make it into the kingdom of God. No adulterer, not one. There will be thought going around, mostly by those that believe in eternal security. So if a couple is involved in a sexual act, and they die, they will go to heaven. You can forget that lie. But when you come to Christ, you have a radical change. There is a judgment, but there is also a wrath. I don't know how you interpret those, but sin is judged. I think that I have had judgment in my life. Right this moment. Right? Acts of my life brought a judgment from God. Right this moment. I was judged. It's in your Bible. Don't you judge that God judges. But there is a wrath. W-R-A-T-H. There is a wrath that no one survives. I survived the judgment because it is left for me in repentance. I repented. I asked God to forgive me. And he forgave me. But in wrath, there is no recovery. There is no second chance. The wrath of God is God's eternal punishment for the unrepentant sin. Somebody said, oh, but I love you. Yeah, but you love the wrong one. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. You may love that man. You may love that woman. If you don't love God, I can promise you that. Well, yeah, I love God too. No, you don't. He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Thou shalt be holy, even as the Lord thy God is holy. You will never make me believe that he will accept a love of yourself. What are we saying? The answer can be found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 53, 55, through 57. Oh, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is love. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody stand up and shout hallelujah for the reading of that verse. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Death, where is your victory? When Jesus died, he said, you didn't kill me, I laid this life down. They sealed and put guards at the entrance to the grave. He was went to the heart of him. He said, give me the keys. Give me the keys. Give me the keys. You and I can never imagine the severity of sin. What it costs for living in the land. Give me the keys. Give me the keys. They had the seal. They had the keys. The rock rolled in front of it. The guard standing there. They had the light. So that his disciples came and stole him away. I mean, the whole thing was on. When Mary and Martha arrived at the tomb, they saw his grave. He's not here. Why should you be living among the dead? Of course, he's got to die. They thought he was a gardener. Didymus, you said you won't believe in this. You can see it. Put your finger in that nail. Feel my side. Look at the piercing of the brow. The thing of death is here. The power of sin is the law. Jesus said, I didn't come but to fulfill the law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the death of Jesus Christ is our victory. Why? Because the sin is gone. When you do die, there is no sin of death. There is no victory in the grave. You know why? Because Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He goes with me all the way. He goes with me all the way. If you want to look at it this way, death is really an entrance into salvation. By faith, we live overcoming lives. By faith, we know that not a weapon formed against us can prosper. There's no demon in hell, there's no devil in hell. There's no spirit, there's nothing that can get past the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. Strong writer wrote that song. I can almost hear this for goodness sake today. And a pen over there in that tomb auditorium out the house in San Francisco. Just roll the flesh. And I will drop and rise and squeeze the ever-blasting breath. Not passing through the air. Farewell, farewell. See that. The last time I saw her was at a South Texas district. It's a district. I don't see they've asked me to sit on the platform. They've asked me to pray. I'm sitting on the platform, and there's this voice that I hear singing. Hallelujah. She came down the aisle singing that song. When she got down, she was a man of God five times. So last time I saw her. That songwriter wrote that song. I'm going to drop this rope tonight. What does it mean by that? It means that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Simon Cameron wrote that song, why should I fear when the Lord will not fear? Why should I fear? Whose love I say to you. He is to me my fortress and my rock. So why should I be afraid? Look at this. I don't know how they're preaching that. At the first coming of Jesus Christ, he came and offered himself to bear the sins of men. Is that right? He didn't have to pay that price anymore. Verse 26, let me read it again. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end, hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of his son. I talk more about his death than ours, because after you notice, are you ready when you die? So is this something that you've added to your life's experience? That won't work. But he said, you should find God in your hands. Oh, now we must face God. So Jesus said in verse 28, look at it. He shall appear a second time unto salvation. Second, we know what we've done. We've sinned against God. We may hide it from everyone else, but we know what we've done. God saw us when we started that flirting. God saw us when we picked up something that wasn't ours. You don't do anything without that sin. And it's on your record. And it is in there until Jesus cleanses with his own blood. Do you know that song? What sin are you talking about? No sin is going to enter heaven. Whatever has been in my life, Jesus comes a second time. He not only shed his blood and died, but he faced it against him. Just as he died to death for someone else with his own blood, he stood in judgment. No sin. With no sin. But that was me. As much as he shed in his blood was for me. It's the point of that demand was to God. And after this, he saved me by his blood. He appeared that second time. When the devil comes around to pardon me and accuse me, he blamed Joshua in the presence of God. So I don't know if he makes out of blame me in the presence of God anymore. If he does, Jesus is going to say, I took it to you. Jesus, blame me.